Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Guest tonight, you know, who will be asking, who will be answering, you know, some questions tonight. That there's the one and only Dr. Marvin X, and he's a graduate of Fresno State University. Dr. Marvin, how you
San
doing?
Francisco
evening,
San Francisco State.
San Francisco State. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan ran me out of Fresno State.
Oh, man. Okay. I wonder why he did that. But as you know,
he said I was a black Muslim. Happy birthday, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, absolutely.
Ronald Reagan said, get that nigga off campus by any means necessary.
Yes, sir. Okay. And as you know, ladies and gentlemen, before that, senile so-and-so became the 40th president of the United States. He was the governor of the state of California. Also, too, we want to give a shout out there, you know, to Outlaw Radio, to Black I Stand Radio, New Black Knowledge, to Kevin Barnes, to Jesse Paris, who's running for mayor of Denver, Colorado, our co-host and co-producer, Lady Che, our co-producer and content creator, and also too to the one and only Anchorman. And they should be joining us shortly, Doctor. Okay, now let me ask you this here, Doc. Okay, earlier today, I saw up here on social media, man, you know, of a reparations situation that they were having there in Richmond, Virginia. And the hatred that was coming across social media, man, for our people.
San Francisco.
Yes, sir. Okay.
It was in San Francisco.
For that day at work. Oh, okay. I stand corrected, Doc. Okay, yeah. Please elaborate on that.
Yeah. Well, they're prepared. Well, let me start from the beginning. A few months ago, I had a column in the black newspaper in San Francisco, the Sun Reporter. And there were two groups pushing for reparations. Reverend Amos Brown of Third Baptist Church and the brother Shaman Reeves of the Board of Supervisors. So Shaman's a young brother from Hunters Point, and Reverend Amos Brown is the OG from the Civil Rights Movement. So they were fighting about whose project was going to be represented for reparations. So I talked about him in my column, and I said you guys basically have an intergenerational conflict because you're an old man and the other brother's a young man, and y'all need to come together or either go get some mental health treatment. So they came
yes,
together.
Sir.
So after my column came out, they came together, and so they formed the reparations committee. They've issued a reparations report. And basically, from what I've been told, every black person in San Francisco will get $5 million.
Okay.
For starters. And then $250,000 for the next 250 years, something like that. They will get something. And, you know, Negroes came on, the reactionary conservative niggas came on the TV and talking against the reparations. One of them was Larry Elder. I forgot the other nigga's name. Them niggas ain't even important to me. But it's just the hatred that they express for whatever black people want. And we say we want $1 trillion, and if you don't want no part of it, nigga, shut your goddamn mouth. Just sit on the motherfucking sideline and don't say anything.
That's right.
Let the people get whatever the people want. Now,
yes,
if you
don't
want it, shut the fuck up.
Yes, sir.
That's why the mama had to kill half them niggas in Kenya.
Right.
Rather than
in the early 60s. Yeah, come on.
They killed more blacks than the goddamn Europeans. Because the blacks was reactionary,
mm-hmm.
Uncle Tom ass niggas. And we got the same kind of niggas over here.
Oh, yes,
and
sir.
They
will
put you back in the cotton field. Niggas will put you back in the cotton field if they get a chance.
Yes, sir. And that's what I mean by the hidden agenda, you know, from these major black politicians that's running today. And to prove your point even further, Doc, and feel free to correct me, you know, at any time. When I look at Hershey Bar out of Georgia, when I look at Warlock there, I believe, up out of Georgia, when I look at London Bridge over there in San Francisco, and then the new mayor of Los Angeles that they got right there, Karen Bass, you know, who was a congresswoman out of the L.A. area for a while. These black politicians, as you can see, Doc, are pretty much serving a white agenda, a corporate agenda, as opposed to dealing with the mainstream black man and woman out here today. Now, let's look at homelessness as a matter of fact. Now, how is it that in the city of Oakland, California, Doc, we make up less than 14% of the population, but we're making up 37% of the homeless? Same thing in Los Angeles, California, man.
Let me say this about Oakland. First of all, you got to understand, Oakland is a radical city. It has a radical tradition. Just like in Iraq, Fallujah was the radical city. And you know, America went into Fallujah and destroyed it twice. Completely destroyed it with white phosphorus gas and everything else. We don't know what all they did. They damn near killed everything moving. So the United States of America has basically done the same thing in Oakland. They have tried to destroy everything black in Oakland down to the present moment. And this is what happens.
Yes, sir.
Look at Haiti. Haiti is another example. Go against a white man and see what your fate is. So Oakland went against America. And they came on Oakland, came down on Oakland with the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, agent provocateurs, snitches, drugs, chemical warfare, germ warfare, everything.
The result
is what you see. You see the grandchildren of black radicals living in tents. That's the grandchildren. The grandchildren of the Black Panthers, those are the people that's living in these tents around Oakland right now.
Yes, sir. Man, you know, and you see them all up and down on San Pablo and then up there on Berkeley as well, too, because I saw a homeless camp up there on Berkeley, man, and they got a great big sign out there that says where we're supposed to go. And then what's happening
Again, just remember what I just said. Oakland is a revolutionary city, a revolutionary City of Resistance. A city of resistance is known around the world. Man, I spoke at Texas Southern University, and a young brother heard I was from Oakland. I couldn't even shake him. He followed me all over the goddamn campus. Oakland has a name. But look at the result. Just like Haiti got a name that whooped the white man's ass, whooped the French ass, the Spanish, the English, Americans.
Yes, sir.
And you can see the result. So Oakland ain't no different from Haiti or Fallujah. You got to fuck with the white man, and you got to be prepared to plan for 25, 50 to 100 years. Just like down the city of Oakland,
they got
a downtown plan. They're planning right now. The city of Oakland has a downtown plan for the next 25 to 50 years, and black people were not even aware of it until the city was getting ready to issue the final report, and then they came out on the street and asked niggas what we want. We told them we want a black arts movement, business district down 14th Street from the lower bottom to Lake Merritt. We pushed it through. We forced it through the city council. Lynette McElhaney was the president of the board, the city council, and she didn't want to do it. Paul Cobb, publisher of the Oakland Post, had to put his foot in her ass verbally through a letter telling her, look, you got power. You a black politician. You the president of the city council. Use your power. You don't have to have 200 niggas coming down to city hall foaming at the mouth. You got the power.
Right.
Use it.
Yes, sir.
So she pushed through the legislation to establish the Black Arts Movement Business District that most people haven't even heard about it. And this legislation was passed January 19th, 2016. You ain't heard about it. Do you know about it?
No, sir.
I'm asking you, do you know about it?
No, sir.
Do you know Oakland has a Black Arts Movement Business District?
Okay, that part I did know, Doc. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, you weren't supposed to know. They haven't given us a budget.
Okay.
They haven't put up any banners. They ain't put no red, black, and green. They got red. The brother revolutionary artists, call them black Panther babies. I ain't going to say no further, but they did some work anonymously. But they painted the poles up and down 14th Street, all the way from the lower bottom to Market Street. They painted the poles red, black, and green. That's in our district.
Okay.
The city tried to repaint the signs.
Okay.
They tried to repaint the
that's
signs.
That's a cold piece of work. Trying to repaint the signs.
In San Francisco, if you go down, you go to Hunters Point, in San Francisco got the red, black, and green on the poles, but the city works department painted the signs. So we can see right now from this reparations project, San Francisco is a little more advanced than Oakland, and Oakland is supposed to be the city of resistance. But the politicians, we went through several black mayors, and they didn't do a motherfucking thing for the hood.
That's the same thing in Los Angeles, too.
Say what?
Yeah, and that's the same thing that they did in Los Angeles, too, when Tom Bradley was the mayor
down there.
You know what I'm saying?
The same thing is going on in Harlem. They sold out Harlem. Who sold out Harlem? Charlie Radio and company.
Yep,
go to Harlem.
Exactly.
It don't even sound like Harlem. The music don't even sound, it ain't even black music in the hotels they play it.
Oh, man. And I always wanted to go to Harlem because of its history.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, too, Doc, as you know, man, of how they're dumbing down IU through this Hollywood industry, man, and then, of course, you know, through this music industry. Like I read off in a publication saying that old Lil Wayne, he picked up $100 million from Universal Music Group, but you can best believe, man, that Universal Music Group, man, is going to make billions upon billions, if not trillions.
You got to understand something, man. Hollywood is the chief propaganda organ of the United States of America.
Yes,
I'll
sir.
Say it again.
Yep,
my
I've been 44 years in L.A. Yep.
Organ for the United States of America, so it spreads America's bullshit all over the world, including some so-called pussy and dick rap.
Yep, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And then even the rappers, man,
other,
you know.
They got niggas killing each other coast to coast.
Yeah, 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 that's incredible. And
pussy
Dr. Wilson.
Pussy
yeah. And yes, sir. And Dr. Wilson had wrote on that there, too, man, in the 1970s, man, you know, just like when they was making all them black exploitation films like Shaft, Coffee,
yeah.
Superfly, The Mac, which was filmed in Oakland, and then through social engineering and experimentation, Dr. Frances Quest Worthing has said, and her point has been proven, is that we will come up on hell-bent on self-destruction of amongst ourselves, thinking that it's the norm, and not even being aware that we are doing it. You see what I mean? And then let's look at your boy Larry Elder right here. Sad, sad case, Doc. Now, as you know, he ran up or tried to force a recall election against Gavin Newsom that he lost. Larry Elder's told the biggest lie, saying that he was from South Central L.A. That fool was from the Southwest part of Los Angeles near Leimert Park and Baldwin Hills. Ask me how I know, because I grew up in L.A., okay? And then Elders has won up here so far as to say, as you already know, Doc, and you have our listeners now, get a load of this one, is that he's not for reparations for the descendant of slaves, but he advocated reparations to the slave master who lost his slaves, you know, at the end of the Civil War, on which a lot of them were compensated. There not to mention the fact, Doc, on my research, that the city of New Orleans, the gross national product of the city of New Orleans during the height of slavery in the United States, man, was the fourth largest economy in the United States. So that's behind New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? And then on top of it as well, too, I was seeing that the new Black Panther Party was on the East Coast in Virginia. They was having a demonstration for reparations. So I put a few comments in there, and all I got was a bunch of hatred and all that. And then they're going to sit up there and say, well, you people are never slaves. You don't deserve no reparations. And this is why I cannot wait, Doc, until Dr. George DeGuy finished her study on the reparations, because as you and I was discussing in Oakland one time, as where she had started to do the research on the corporations like DuPont, Hartford Insurance, you know, who insured the slave ships. Also through Lloyd's of London, you know what I'm saying, who paid for the ships to come and go. And the main traders that you had was the British, was the Dutch, was the French, was the Spanish, and was the Portuguese. And also, too, I feel we got our co-host in here with us, Doc. I'm going to bring him on here. And 720, you're on air, and I believe that there's Brother Chad.
It's actually me.
Hello?
Lady
Chad. Okay, Lady Chad. Okay, so therefore, okay, Lady Chad, we have with us. Okay, we got Dr. Marvin X with us on here tonight with us, Lady Chad, who's dropping some very, very heavy knowledge. Okay, now, Doc. Okay, what I want to ask, okay, is that when they had this colonial tax that the French are charging Haiti for, and I would imagine that
Spanish
are doing the same thing with the Dominican Republic, too, and I would imagine that the British are doing the same things with Jamaica and Barbados. Now, what is the purpose of that?
They did it throughout the Caribbean. They did it throughout the Caribbean, charging, made the slave pay for his slavery.
Wow.
You had to
make
pay the
slave
master
for
being a slave. Yeah,
okay.
That's how they turned it around.
Like the sharecropping system that you had, you know, after the so-called end of slavery at the end of the Civil War. And you going out there,
you never get paid up on the sharecropper I owe you list.
That's what the game is. You know what I'm saying? Is that, you know, to keep you constantly in debt. You see what I mean? And you'll never get up out of slavery, you see? Now, let me ask you this here, Doc. Okay. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Now, I was going to ask you, you know, all this hatred that I saw on social media today, you know, when the new Black Panther Party there was demonstrating for the reparations. Okay, you got a lot of whites Okay, now, did you see the comments up there saying that we don't deserve nothing and they're going to sit up there and say, tell the people to go get a job? Now, I don't have a problem with going to get a job, but there's a difference between a job and a career. A job is where you're going out making somebody else rich. A career is where you're going out making your own self rich and should be able to, excuse the term, enhance your community. You see, and none of them was receptive to that, but I appreciate of what they were going out there doing. And this is why I pretty much got a problem with these black politicians, you know, Karen Bass in particular, is because she recently became the mayor of Los Angeles, where I grew up, and she says she's declared a state of emergency in the city of Los Angeles in regard to homelessness. Okay, so what the good mayor did is went out there, gave out 92 vouchers and forced other people the leads. Me personally, I think that they're going to move the homeless of Los Angeles over there to the LA River in the height of a storm and have river waters come wash them out because it's the world's biggest sewer. In addition to, let's look at Eric Adams, who's the mayor of New York. You know, he's more concerned about alternative agendas as opposed to dealing with his own people. Why can't a black politician, doctor, you know, if you're knowledgeable and what have you, deal strictly for black folks in the beginning of the term, and then quite naturally, of course, as they take care of black issues, then go on and deal with the general public's others' issues. But why won't they do that, Doc?
They have no intention of doing that. They wasn't trained to do that. They didn't get in office to do that.
Yes, sir.
They made pledges.
Yes,
they're more loyal. They're more loyal to the Democratic Party than to black people. You got to understand
yes,
that. They don't give a fuck about black people. They are loyal Democrats.
Right. Yes, sir.
And you're not
a high
priority. You're not a priority. Except to come and get your vote and give you a chicken wing and some red Kool-Aid. You go for it every time.
All
they got to do is come with some chicken wings and some red Kool-Aid, and you voting for them. So it's a trick.
Yeah, wow.
You get hoodwinked. You get hoodwinked time after time after time. Time after time. How long have you been talking about voting rights? Voting rights. Do anybody else in America talk about voting rights? Do you hear Chicano talk about voting rights?
Sir.
Asians talk about voting rights? White people talk about voting rights?
No, sir.
Why are you niggas talking about voting rights?
Sir. Right, because they've been conditioned that way off that plantation.
You're not a citizen, and you'll never be a citizen. African proverb said wood would remain in the water 10 years, but it would never become a crocodile.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You see, that's right, and that's real talk right there, too, Doc, because like I said, over the years, man, you and I have gotten acquainted, man, had some dynamic conversations, you know what I'm saying? Now, I also notice, Doc, that in the majority, or where they got a high population of black people like Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Maryland, and whatnot. Now, what is happening there in regard to black businesses is because you see Motown Records that originated out of Detroit. You know, they sold it to Universal Music Group. A lot of the black labels as well, too, because I think Stax Records, you know, had went bankrupt. And then on top of that as well, too, that a lot of our talent, rather if it's coming out of New York, Chicago, in the arts and what have you, you know, they're selling them out. And plus the imagery of what they're projecting of us, particularly as black men, okay, is because the black woman, you know, the Hollywood loves her, if you know what I mean. But when it comes to black men, they want to project this imagery of homosexuality and feminization of the black male. How come they're not emphasizing, you know, the concept of having a strong black daddy in the home, Doc?
Why do you think the slave master would want to have niggas walking around talking about they Nat Turner? You think the white man's supposed to do that? Is he supposed to tell you you Nat Turner descendant? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to castrate you, just like they're doing these young children now, cutting off their penises. He's always wanted to do that. He wanted to do that throughout slavery when he was of no use. So it's not no strange thing that he wants to cut off the black man's penis, the black child's penis, the black boy's penis.
Right.
He ain't changed. You're the one that's changed. You change, but he ain't changed, and he ain't going to change. Like they say in recovery, some people are constitutionally unable to recover. So the white supremacist is in his DNA. He's going to be a diehard white till the day he dies. He's going to stay white, and the only question is, are you going to be black? That's the question. It ain't what he going to do. It's what you going to do. I just told you, he got his agenda. In Oakland, 25 to 50 years, they got a plan. Do you have a plan for the next 25 to 50 years? Have your black leaders, your black politicians, have they given you a plan for the next 25 to 50 years? No.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right.
Only thing they tell you is vote Democrat.
Yes, sir.
The black
Tom Bradley was a classic example of that.
The black Republican came to Oakland, Dr. Carson, when he was overheard. He tried to come to Oakland to deal with housing, deal with the homeless. The black Democrat politician didn't want to have nothing to do with him. They don't care if he did have a solution to the homeless problem. They don't want no solution because it's coming from the Republican. And that's all they're about, bullshit-ass politics. Vote for me, I'll set you free. Vote for me, I'll set you free.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to go back to homelessness because there's a solution, a simple solution to the homeless problem is give the homeless a home. That's real simple. Not only do you give them a home, you give them a life estate in real estate. You got different titles to property. So one title is the life estate, where you put people in a house, in a structure, in a SRO, hotel room, or whatever it is, a tiny house, but you don't make a transition. You make it permanent. Then you give them the case management that they need. But at least they can never claim they're homeless because they got a life title to their little hut or whatever the fuck it is until they can move on up. But they can't rent it. They can't sublease it. They can't share it with nobody. But they got it, and they got a life estate title, and they can do this right now. They're talking about converting all these buildings that's empty, downtown buildings that's empty. They can put the homeless in there right now.
Yes, sir. You know what I mean? Because I've always said that on social media, too,
In South Africa, they was taking over the empty buildings. They were taking over and telling the white man, give me your keys and get the fuck out of here.
Yes, sir. Give me your keys. Yes, sir. And that's why I did Julius Malema.
Take your ass to Australia, wherever the fuck you want to go, but get the fuck out of here. Leave your keys.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
The problem.
Yes, sir. And then just like Julius Malema said, if you steal my car and I go steal it back, that's not theft. I'm just recovering what is mine. And then also,
wait a minute. Frederick Douglass said it best. How can a slave steal from the man who stole him?
No, I love that one right there. You know what I mean? I really do.
Yeah.
And then also, too, Doc. Yes, sir. And then also, too, Doc. Now, let's look at an institution or in the city of a place where I grew up, Doc, Los Angeles, California. Do you know that all that property, which is modern-day Hollywood, which is a section of the city of Los Angeles, and Beverly Hills, which is its own city, do you know that all that land was owned by a black woman at one time, man, prior to about 1896, you know, before them people from New York came out there and started the movie-making business out there? And then also, too, Doc, if you have knowledge on this, is that California was named after Khalifa. And from what I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that she was a black queen that they named California after.
Yes. That's correct. That's correct. Well, you know, I have a poem. Black history is world history. Black history is world history.
Yes, sir.
So you talk about the black What about the, wait a minute, what about the black woman that just married the Prince of England? Black people think that's something new.
Yeah.
You got to school and go back through the history of royalty in Europe, and you'll find all kind of black queens and kings and princesses and every goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
The coat of arms.
Yes,
look at the coat of arms. See, black was all up throughout European royalty. So this black heifer from L.A., your town, she ain't doing nothing new. But to a Negro mind, she really made, we made progress now. We done married the Prince of England.
So once again, Doc, they're pissing on our heads and telling us it's wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, and then also too, Doc, as you know, Paul Williams, you know, one of the greatest architects going, who was a black architect, man, in like 1920s and 1930s Los Angeles. This man had design homes for Frank Sinatra, Lucille Ball, and you could not even go up there into those neighborhoods to visit those places. Because at that time, if the LAPD caught you up in there, man, you better have been somebody's servant. You better have been somebody's butler. You better have been somebody's chauffeur, man, because they have a way of dealing with you in Los Angeles, man. They treat you like a real king, like your royalty, as in Rodney King. Know what I mean? And then also, too, in addition of how a lot of our black scholars like Thomas Sewell, I have to call Elders a scholar because he is a doctor of jurisprudence because he was a lawyer. And I read some asinine shit off in his book, man, because I'm reading his book right now. And he was saying is when affirmative action came in, that is when you know that the civil rights era was over. That's when you know that the civil rights era had ended because we had made so much progress. But Doc, it's very interesting, man, that half of our youth don't know about, you know, the Brother Man and those six guys, man. You know who I'm talking about that started them patrols in 1966. I think one of them was a PhD from Santa Cruz, Doc. I think his name was Huey. Then they had another guy named Bobby. Then they had another guy named Big Man and Forte Brothers, man, and they were going out there patrolling the streets of Oakland, man, protecting our rights, you know what I'm saying, you know, from police attacks. Then they had chapters in Los Angeles, then Chicago and New York and Milwaukee.
Well, there was a brother in L.A. that started police patrols. His name was Oscar Wright. He's here in Oakland right now. He's 90-some years old. He's here in Oakland right now. But he was down in L.A. with patrol. You heard of Oscar Wright?
Oh, yeah, I've heard the name, but I just didn't know nothing about him, Doc. Thanks for, I heard the name, but I didn't know anything about it. Yeah, but thank you for enlightening me.
He's been around Oakland a long time, and he's been dealing with education and scholarships and NAACP and stuff like that. But people don't know his history. I remember when he came up here from L.A., at the same time the Panthers started.
Yes, sir. Okay. So, and then also, too, Doc, enlighten me on this, okay, because I've came across some research of a young attorney that got five guys off of a case who got into a shootout with the LAPD in 1967 over there off of 41st and Compton Avenue, which runs north and south on the east side of L.A., and these guys were acquitted. You know, they went to jail. They went through the trial, a long, drawn-out trial. But there was a young attorney out of L.A. at that time that took their case pro bono, and those guys were acquitted. And could you elaborate on this young attorney by the name of Johnny Cochran?
I don't know his name. Was that Johnny Cochran?
Yes, sir.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
I'm not familiar about that case.
Okay.
All I know
is
I know what he did for Geronimo.
Oh, yes, sir, indeed. Yeah, please elaborate on that there, Doctor. Yeah, because
he finally got Geronimo out, and you know, it was the man spent, 27 years in prison, and he could have gotten out because the FBI The FBI knew he was not in L.A. at the time of those murders. He was in Oakland at a Black Panther meeting, and the FBI got tape recordings of their meeting.
Yes, sir. And there was a guy by the name of
in prison behind some bullshit.
For nothing. Yes,
you know,
sir. You know what I'm saying?
Thankfully, hey, I hate to say it, but we knew about the FBI from the time of Marcus Garvey. The FBI founded dealing with Marcus Garvey and setting up Marcus Garvey. So we've been knowing about the FBI a long, long time. Suddenly, white folks know about him only because of Donald Trump. So then suddenly Donald Trump told them the FBI is the devil, and now they proving it. And the Democrats, the Republicans are getting ready to go into hearings to prove all of the devilment and the dirty tricks the FBI been doing in the most recent years. Yeah.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
So
institutions,
contrary to what these Negroes are saying, all these institutions are racist, white supremacist institutions, and I don't give a fuck what kind of job a nigga got. A nigga should know them white folks hate your black ass. They want to give your position to their daughter and their son, not your black ass you think you so grinning up in their face. My sister had a six-figure job with a firm, and she was over credit and collections, and she collected a lot of money for the white man. And she had several employees under her, and somebody else bought the company, and the new boss said, the first thing I want to do is get rid of that black bitch because she got too much power.
Wow.
So you done made progress.
Yeah.
They did shit. They still trying to cut your throat every move you make, and you don't know it.
Yes,
it's just like a few years ago, around the same time, remember when they stuck that plunger up the brother's ass in Brooklyn? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, Diallo.
You remember that
case? Sir.
The police at the substation.
Yes,
around the same time that happened, there was a case in, I think, North Carolina, where this brother was out in the woods and partying with some white people. And he didn't know they was talking about killing him all day long until they finally, I think they tied him on a tree and chopped his head off. But the white woman turned state evidence, and she said they have been plotting to kill this nigga all day while he partied with them. And he didn't have a clue.
No, good.
That's what we do.
Exactly.
You partied with the devil. And you see the end game of the party. Keep partying with the devil.
Yes, sir. And that there is for real, man. Just like there was a case, man, about less than 2 years ago where this black businessman, you know, made him some money, went out of town for his business. Then he comes up here across these two white girls and one white male. And he goes party with a man. And just like the brother said that you had mentioned, man, they robbed him and they killed his ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They mugged, they got him drunk, and they mugged him, you know? And then also, too, when we bring attention of these atrocities, it's because even on this platform here as well, Doc, we've had white supremacists cover up here and call me every NGR, black SOB, this, that, there, the other. They do not want to come face-to-face with themselves on a collective basis of the horrors that they did. Okay, it's because like some dude is going to come up here and tell me, man, and we ran him off there. Well, man, but what about the Irish and the potato famine and all that? Well, you see, the Irish are here on indentured servitude. And I said, hey, homie, answer me this, riddle me this. If the Irish were not slave traders, why do you have so many black people with the last names of O'Neill, McGeorge? Okay, you feel me? Finley. You see where I'm going with this here, Doc? McDonald's.
They live in the world of denial. Like one of my students said, see, denial, the real name of the Denial River is not denial, it's called Happy. So if niggas came out of denial, they'd be happy. How about that?
Yes, sir. You know, and then the cold part too, Doc, to prove your point even further, that's why we created the hashtag Resurrection of the Mental Dead in a group by the same name. And most definitely, man, you know, check it out when you get a chance. So therefore, you know, to all of our callers out there listening to us, you know, please give us a call here at 516-418-5996. We have Dr. Marvin X with us. You know, he's dropping some gems and dropping some great, great knowledge. You know, and the brothers up out there out of Oakland, California, and I'm very, very familiar with the doc. You know, now tell me this here, Doc, and this here is kind of like of a hidden subject that white America does not want to face. Okay, you know about Black Friday, right? Okay, where they would take the black girls up there, you know, like 12 to 13, 14 years of age, strip them naked, put them up on an auction block. Then the white slave traders would go purchase them for their sons, you know, to start breeding their own slaves as well, too. And I think there was a guy by the name of Oscar Brown Jr. that made a tape or a rap record called Bitter Men.
Bitter Men.
Yes, sir. You know, by the one and only Oscar Brown Jr. And why is it? Like down there in the state of Florida, and feel free to crumb bum on Governor DeSantis. This is because Governor DeSantis, I will talk about what you interpret as critical race theory. I've been to your lousy state one time, didn't dig it, and you ain't never got to worry about me coming back to the state of Florida. Now, what's up with that, Doc? You know, shed some light on that. Why does white America not want to talk this quote-unquote critical race theory?
I just told you why. They live in denial. Yeah. They're in denial. They're ashamed to tell their children the true history of America. If anybody wants to read the true history of America, the best book I know is America's, what is it, by J.A. Rogers.
Okay.
America's Gift.
I've heard it.
Yeah, I can't get the title straight, but it's America's gift to the white man or something. I don't know, but he tells you the roots of these people who came here. Just like they spent a whole week telling us about black roots, they never put no white roots on TV. Why did they put some white roots on TV? Yeah, they want they don't want to talk about critical race theory. Just put the white roots. You mean you don't want your kids to know that Sally Hemings lived in a room next to Thomas Jefferson with his six kids in a room with no windows in darkness? This motherfucking bitch devil had her in the dark with six of his motherfucking children. And you're going to tell me about Thomas Jefferson. I went to speak at the University of Virginia.
Yes, sir.
My nephew was going there, and he wanted me to walk over to see the house that Thomas Jefferson built. So I walked over there to him, to the house that Thomas Jefferson built, and I asked my nephew, tell me, what brick did Thomas Jefferson lay on this motherfucking house? Tell me. He got mad.
So which means you had some of the brethren up there doing all the work, and he just had the overseer out there giving the orders. I knew it. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. While I was on campus, they brought me there to speak. And first of all, the NAACP brought me there to speak, and They changed the room where I was supposed to speak. They changed the room three times. Do you understand?
Wow.
To make sure no students could find me. But then, while I was supposed to speak, I went to a graduate class. I sat in on a graduate class with my nephew. He wanted me to sit in the class with him. So I sat in the class, getting in the class. The professor was dealing with space. space.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sunrise say,
mm-hmm.
space is the place. Space is
yes.
the place.
Yeah.
The professor
yes.
said 900 slaves lived on 1 acre of land.
Oh,
think about
man.
That. You know, the acre is that goddamn big. And I don't really see how 900 slaves could even live on 1 acre of land, but that's what she was teaching. 1 acre
oh,
of land.
Oh, my God. 900 blacks living on 1 acre of land.
So
man,
I
don't
move
even
on
think
before I go, but you, I don't want to, I want to move on and just say a couple of things about what I'm doing here. You know, I
yes, sir.
Was out there at with my Academy of the Corner on Lakeshore
mm-hmm.
Avenue in Oakland. And
yes, sir.
You know about Barbecue Becky.
No,
the
oh,
white
yeah.
woman.
That's
yeah, not the brother from, you know, when that happened, that brought vendors
yeah.
to the lake for the first time in the history of Oakland. The
yes,
only
sir.
Vendors was on the
been
street of Oakland, downtown. The only vendor that was on the streets of Oakland was a Negro named Marvin Etz. He's supposed to be crazy. So I was
okay.
I was on the street at 14th and Broadway through several black administrations, from Lionel Wilson to
yep.
L.U. Harris to Ron Dellums,
yep.
Jerry Brown, all
yep.
of them. I was out there at 14th and Broadway. So supposedly I
yes,
was
sir.
Illegal. So after Barbecue Becky, after all the blacks came out to the lake and started vending and selling, and including selling alcohol and wine and probably pussy too, ain't no telling. But
hell yeah,
in L.A., 30,000 Latino street vendors got organized and went to Jerry Brown, and he passed a law, a state law, SB 946. To allow street vending
mm-hmm.
throughout California.
Okay.
So the law says you can't ask a vendor for immigration papers. You can't confiscate
okay.
their goods. You can't give them
okay.
Exorbitant fines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I saw that, I got organized here in Oakland. I organized the Black Vendors Association to help street vendors. So that's what I've been doing
yes,
these last few months. I was able to get a grant to help them get organized, and they've been trying to get them out of Lake Merritt, because Lake Merritt
mm-hmm.
is the jewel of Oakland. And I grew up in Oakland, and
yeah,
they never wanted blacks at Lake Merritt. We couldn't even go to the lake when I was growing up. Maybe on 4th of July we could go. And
mm-hmm.
this is 2023, and they still fighting to keep us out of Lake Merritt. They spent $600,000
wow.
for police overtime to keep the blacks from coming to Lake Merritt to buy and sell. $600,000
mm-hmm.
police time. This is a few,
wow.
few months ago. So
right.
we're still there, but it's not like it can be, not like it will be, but the black vendors are going to be. They got the hint now. They got the game. So it's just a
yes,
matter
sir.
Of making the residents of the lake understand that they got to smell barbecue, marijuana, and they might have some piss and shit in their driveway.
Yep, yeah, that's Oakland. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's
you got
like
that right, Doc. Yes, sir. It does sound like Oakland, Doc. Okay, now let me ask you this here, Doc. Okay, now how can we, you know, with our youth, you know, those who are going to college, you know, those who want to better themselves with skills and what have you, should they be pursuing college degrees? Well, of course, I'm all for them getting their degrees in the sciences and the mathematics and the technologies. But also, people, what about some of the trades, you know, like carpentry, masonry, steel fabrication, things of that nature right there, is because what I have witnessed up is that here, you know, you got a lot of the brothers, hey, man, I'm going over here to UCSF to get my degree. I'm going up to UC Berkeley to get my degree. I'm going way out there to UCLA to get my degree. And then to find out that a lot of these students, what they're in and are inheriting is a lot of student debt. And I think that Tyler Perry had mentioned something about that, about getting rid of the student debt. And what can we do as a people, you know, to enhance, to make sure that our scholars, you know, and our technicians and what have you get gainfully employed, and thus of how to create jobs for ourselves. Everybody else is going to have to take a back seat at
Booker T. Washington trying to tell you to do that. Booker T. Washington trying to tell you to do for self. Elijah Muhammad's trying to tell you. Marcus Garvey's trying to tell you. Malcolm X trying to tell you. So when you going to get it in your hands? You just a PhD nigger? Ain't no different from a nigger in the alley drinking rock red wine. In the end, let me give you an example. They just on Facebook, they have an appeal.
Yeah.
They have an appeal for a brother that you probably know, Dr. Leonard Jeffries. He taught at City College of New York. He had Black Studies.
Yes.
He's one of our great scholars. But right now,
yes, sir.
After all his teaching, all the years he taught, all the money he made, he's got an appeal for medical help. He's got serious medical issues, but he doesn't have the money. So my point is, you worked all them years, you was a tenured Negro, but you ain't got no more money than a Negro in the alley drinking rock gun wine. You're just a nigga with a PhD. You understand?
Man, that's bad.
And so I just proposed recently, I said I wanted to establish a $1 billion trust fund for veterans.
Yes, sir.
Black veterans of the domestic wars in America. Veterans in the Black Panther Party. Veterans of the Nation of Islam. Veterans in Black Studies. Veterans of Black Student Unions. So that we have a fund to take care of the veterans that have been wounded mentally and physically in domestic wars in America, fighting for our freedom.
Yes, sir.
So we can fund this ourselves. America, Black America, is the 16th richest nation in the world. We can fund whatever we need to fund. We're the 16th richest nation in the world. Look at do a fact check. We got
I believe you on that there, Doc.
We just spend 99% of your money is you're a consumer. You don't say
yes,
nothing.
Sir.
You're
man,
a consumer.
We got to be a producer. Yes,
you
sir.
Give it all
man,
back
we have
to
become
right
producers.
I've asked Negroes to look what make a list of where you spend your money throughout the day. You go to the Chinaman.
Yep.
You go to the Japanese. You go to the Vietnamese.
Yep.
You go to the Mexicans. You go to the Arab. You go to everybody except a black man, and then you wonder why ain't no businesses in the hood.
Yes, sir.
Stop wondering.
You see what I'm saying?
Stop wondering. You got a master's degree? Show that you're a master, nigga. You got a PhD,
absolutely.
Nigga? Why are you waiting for a job, nigga? You got a PhD. You supposed to be a doctor, nigga.
Right. Exactly.
You gave it away.
And then you should
be afraid.
And then the cold part about it is the mindset of what Hollywood forms. You know what I'm saying? And
I'm going to say again. I don't know if you really got what I said about Hollywood. I'm going to say it one more time. The movies in Hollywood are approved by the U.S. military.
Yeah.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, is it the Chinese that bought Hollywood, and you can't say nothing negative about a Chinese in a Hollywood movie. Did you know that?
No, I'm not surprised. I didn't know that, but why am I not surprised?
Do a fact check on that. Why you think they have to buy them now? Because the Chinese are doing, they done bought out all the universities and colleges, all the research institutions, and that's why they gave that money to the University of Penn, and maybe that's Biden, but they shot money to the University of Penn, and then Penn shot some to Biden. And they might throw him out of the office right now because they were looking for a way to get him out of there. The man don't even know his name. The man was at a press conference calling on a dead woman the other day.
Wow.
He's talking about a dead woman, and he calls out the dead woman in the audience, and the woman is dead.
Now, let me ask you this here, Doc. You know what I'm saying? Okay, what do you think about the former district attorney of San Francisco County, who has became the vice president of the United States under Biden?
What do I think about her?
Yes, sir. She used to be the DA of San Francisco. Yeah, before she became the vice president, used to be the senator from California, too.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Do you know about her background? Do you know where she came from?
Berkeley.
Wait a minute. Okay, Berkeley. Have you heard of the Afro-American Association?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard of the Afro-American Association?
Yes, sir, I have.
Have you heard of Donna Wharton?
No.
Attorney Donna Wharton. Is also,
no, sir.
His other name is Khaled Abdullah Tariq El Mansour. Let me cut to the chase. The most radical organization in Oakland was the Afro-American Association. Out of the Afro-American Association came Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, and the Black Panther Party. Black Studies came out of the Afro-American Association. Kwanzaa came out of the Afro-American Association. For your information, Ron Coringa was the Los Angeles representative of the Afro-American Association. So Kamala Harris' parents met at the Afro-American Association in Berkeley. That was the blackest group in Oakland, sitting around Merritt College. That's where her parents met. When I got there to City College at Merritt College in 1962, the Afro-American Association was the thing, and from that, the Black Panthers came, and as I said, Black Studies came out of that. Black Arts Movement in the Bay came out of that. Kwanzaa came out of that.
Right.
That's the power. Okay. That's the power of the organization. That DNA is in her roots. She can act white all she wants to. She can act stupid all she wants to. She can laugh like everything in the goddamn world is funny. But she knows.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't no dummy. She can act a fool if she wants to. But we know her roots right here in Berkeley.
Yes, sir. Now, let me ask you this here, Doc. Okay, now, you remember Mario Woods over in San Francisco, man, who was shot 25 times by the San Francisco Police Department?
Yeah.
And he was only 5 feet. Yeah, he was only 5'7", weighing 145 pounds. And I saw this video where they murdered Mr. Woods.
He was Superman. You had to shoot him 25 times because he was Superman.
Yeah.
He
and the dude didn't weigh no more than man. 150 pounds ringing wet, man. And then when I see 5'2" plus officers tipping the scale, man, at 205 and better, and they got all their guns on him, and you can see that they are off in the half circle. Does that prove, Doc, in your opinion, that they intended to kill him as opposed to just go whooping his ass or hitting him with a taser or something like that?
They intend to kill every Negro when they stop you. Don't they have they finger on the trigger?
Yeah.
They stop you.
Yeah, you're
in
right.
In Oakland, I don't know if you remember, in Oakland, they had the tone test. The police had the tone test. And when the police stop you, one of three things can happen based on the tone of your voice. Number one, you can be arrested. You can be released. or you can be shot based on the tone of your voice. This is
back in
Chief Hart was the chief at the time. He denied it, but one of my students became a Oakland police officer, and she put it out in the paper in Oakland Tribune, and they fired her for putting that information out. But she said they had the tone test, and she had to go by the tone test.
Wow. Like a rite of passage for them, just like when you join a gang.
The black brothers need to learn about the tone test. Because when they stop you, they're ready to kill you, number one, off the top. And you can't talk about hunky bitch, fuck you and your mama, too.
Right.
You can't do that when they got their motherfucking finger. They've got their finger on the gun.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Just like in Los Angeles, they treat you with royalty as in Rodney King. Get it? Jenna?
Yeah.
Also, too.
I was in L.A. when I went down to L.A. to hustle when Nelson Mandela came out of prison. And I was at a McDonald's, and I asked a police the way to City Hall, you know, where the rally was. Next thing I know, I'm in the middle of a circle of police just for asking for directions.
Yeah, and everybody in L.A. knows that City Hall is located at 200 North Spring Street, and you cannot help but miss it is because it's a white tall building with a pointed top, and if anybody's familiar with the old TV series called Superman, that was the building that they used for the Daily Planet when he used to go jump out the window in the 1950s chasing Lois Lane or whatever crazy-ass stuff that they had down there, right there.
Hey, brother, I don't know if any of your listeners got any questions for me, but I'm running out of energy, and I'm going to have to get off this phone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, Lady Che, do you got any questions here for Dr. Marvin X?
No, that was a very informative little hour right there. I just was sitting back just listening. I'm like, oh, my God.
You got any questions?
I have a blog called Blackbird Press News and Review. You can go to it. Blackbird Press News and Review. You got to say news and review because there's some other blackbirds that's not black. So you got to say Blackbird Press News and Review. You can go there. For the next 10 years. I got enough stuff on there for you to read for the next 10 to 15 years.
Go to
Blackbird Press News and Review. We have a magazine. I got a couple of magazines, Blackbird Press News and also Outlaw Magazine. If you Google them, you get some information.
Okay.
But my main blog is Blackbird Press News and Review. So thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
And I hope to come on again at another time.
Oh, yeah, and thank you so very, very much for calling in, Doc. Hey, man, appreciate you, man.
Right.
And I should be back up there in Oakland, man, in the next couple of months. And man, we definitely got to have a sit down again. You know, it's always a pleasure.
Give me a call. We can hook up. All right,
y'all.
The mayor of Denver and all you people, peace out.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Right.
Okay, Lady
Che.
Okay. Night-night. Okay, and that there was Dr. Marvin X right there, Lady Che, you know what I'm saying? You know, very, very heavy brother. You know, I'm acquainted with him very much so. It's because, you know, him and I will go over there when I'm in Panthertown and sit at Starbucks, have coffee, sit back, philosophize and what have you. But I am glad that he did mention the barbecue Becky situation. And as we all know how that turned about, and then what had happened was, just like what the good doctor has said, and I even shot some live feed from there over the years, you know, over the last 7 years, where you have all the black vendors in Oakland who are coming out there, barbecue, jewelry, massage therapy, you know what I'm saying, scholars, book authors, artists, and well, too. And then, as the good doctor said, of course, you know, where it's the black, the birthplace of the Black Panther Party as well, too. So therefore, Lady Che, what's on your mind? What's happening with Brother Paris there, you know, in the campaign?
Well, it's been pretty heavy. Today's like, well, tomorrow will probably be like the last day gather signatures for the ballot. I'm sorry, I lost my voice. I'm just, it's kind of sound really it's been really heavy. Today he has turned, I don't know what he has to do, but he's been like MIA for like the last couple hours. So I imagine he's out there moving around trying to gather his petitions and signatures and stuff. It's been really heavy, and it seemed like the last one we turned in, they kicked out like 28 of them. 28 names, and that was rather discouraging. And then we went, yesterday with the Marade, went to another event, candidate forum, and it really wasn't, I mean, it was like a hour meet and greet, but it was like a 4-hour presentation after that. And I was kind of disappointed, you know, I was hoping they were going to let us speak. We did a little visiting with the people we knew. I was really, really But when he got back, he's been exhausted. The thing is that I think it they don't make it that none of this has been easy, and I don't, you know, like, man, none of it has been easy, none of it.
Right.
The likelihood is that he's gonna have to be probably do a write-in, but I'm not sure. Let's not count our chickens yet. The only reason I say that is because throws in the petitions, and this is like a two-part thing. Look, like, you know, he can't be, if people say, yeah, let me help you, right? And he hands off a petition, and they only put in like maybe 10% of work effort and only get 6 signatures. He still has to go and collect all of those petitions that are out in the open, get them turned in, you know, and have that person with them. That's just crazy in itself. Then, you know, it's up to whoever's in charge to cure them or whatever. And like, that was awfully discouraging the other day when me and him had really high hopes. We were like, yeah, we're doing good, you know what I mean? And then they kicked back 28 of them, and I'm gonna say 3 of them were black women. I was definitely on that old race shit. I was definitely mad about that.
No.
But then I was like, man, like, it was quite for us. It's for us. It was for another, and it's been like that. So it's like, you know, it's been like that since day one of this campaign. And it seemed to went fast, but it's not over yet. It's just, it's ugly. It's stupid, and it's ugly. And about 20 people are, I'm being an ass, about 15 people don't even deserve to run for office. They got our, they
right.
It's ugly. Not to mention, Jesse seeing people that we know, you know, holding signs for other people, you know, they already put their name on some other petition, you know, so there's like no loyalty right there, you know. And that, too, it's like, you see that as a brother to another brother, if you see your brother struggling, why are you going to go and campaign for some other motherfucker that you don't even have a relationship with like that? You know what I mean? You don't even have a relationship with, like, but you're holding this broad sign knowing goddamn well that you not only donate to Jesse for his campaign, but you have his petition to get signed, but you're over there holding some bitch's sign while you're at the Marais yesterday, and he saw you, and you didn't have nothing to say except, you know, I'm going to vote for you. Come on, cuz, that's the worst shit ever. That right there is a dampening of emotion. Like, damn, I can't even trust you with my petition to go get fucking signatures.
Wow.
You see, I got all this shit going on. but you're going to stump for this broad and hold her sign? Do you feel I'm kind of struggle big one, but I got to catch you out here.
Yeah.
And it was an accident. He wasn't, like, looking for nobody. It's at the parade. Everybody is at the parade. You know what I mean? And I'm like, damn, dude, that's even worse. We go to the candy store or whatever, and I'm in there. I got there, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes earlier. And so some say people that I actively talk shit about. Actively.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't got shit to say. But I'm watching everybody. I'm saying, you know, if I give you like a hello, a little wave, regardless if I talk shit to you, say something. I'm waving. I'm being social.
Yeah.
Nah, nope. Dirty looks. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? We get there and, man, Jesse's like, you know, wore his boots down, walking the streets. You know what I mean? It's contention. Contention amongst the Parises. Because it's stressful. You know what I mean? We're stressed to the max. And then it's like, why are we really upset? We're upset because he wants to change shit. But you can't change shit when everybody's fucking hands are all in it. People could pay for their own campaign.
Right.
They're paying these people to go out there and wave signs and do all this extra shit. They're paying them. We couldn't pay nobody to go do petitions or fly signs or do any of that crazy shit. We couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so then,
right.
So then now what happens, right, is that, you know, motherfuckers won't know how to be kind and be like, man, sorry you went through all that. Well, you still got a couple more months. Mm-hmm. How can we help? Nah, instead they're going to be on the whole shaming shit. You know what I mean? And I'm preparing myself for that. But I'm also preparing myself that we got a winter storm coming up. And there's only like one more day of week left. And I'm like, man, dude, this is what we can do. It's about to be a winter storm. Shit, let's go fucking shovel some snow. You know what I mean? Let's go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because right there, you're going to be able to gather some signatures. You know what I mean? He ran out of petitions because he gave them out. Now you got to go hunt down all these petitions, and who knows who got done with what. And he's busy getting them on the bus. He's getting them on the street. He's getting them at the grocery store. He's going everywhere. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like all, like, intentional when you get the little messages back. It's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, sorry, sir. We kicked. This is insufficient. Really, dude? 28 of them? How does anybody else get all these cured? Right? Everybody's all good.
Yeah.
They turned their shit in. Why did you even get? How did you even come up with? If the number is 300, how the fuck you find 600? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how did 300 of them count? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they kicked back all of ours, so nobody got theirs kicked back. No one wants to talk about it, right? You can't ask anybody shit because then they want to talk about you and gossip later. But I really want to know. I want to know how many motherfuckers got their shit kicked back and how many times. You know what I mean? Or is it just us? You know what I mean? And we're the ones being assholes about it, raising the scene. And we're like misinformationalists like they always try to do. Or that we're just being poor sports because we didn't compete, right? And I know that's a goddamn lie.
Yeah. Right.
If anybody's most fucking competitive in Team Paris, it's right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I know that's
okay. Okay, Lady K, let me interrupt you 1 second. Okay, we got a caller here out of the 702 area code, the last 49440. Okay, if you'd like to join the conversation, please press 1, and we'd be more than happy to have you in here. And tonight's episode is The Black Face of White Supremacy. We are having an open mic discussion about black politicians who have, in effect, a white supremacist agenda that is hidden from mainstream black voters, whether if it's at the local, state, or federal level. Okay, we would like to get feedback from the black community of how to counterman these things for our best interest, particularly in education and health services, you know, which we need a lot of. And what are some ideas to circumvent this tragedy? How can we pool our collective resources to build and rebuild our cohesiveness? And please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns regarding the subject at 516-418-5996. And this episode is for those 18 years of age and over. Okay, we got a caller here out of 702. Okay.
Grand Rising family, I come in peace.
Hey.
Very interesting and empowering topic because I'm a retired school teacher, and one thing I always taught my students is why were the Black Panther Party feared? It wasn't because they ran around in leather coats and had shotguns and guns. They were feared because Huey P. Newton was a political science major, and he figured out in order for us to be a people in this country that we had to have some type of political clout. And
yes,
I say
ma'am.
That to say
that,
way.
And by the way, what's your first name, ma'am, if I may ask?
My name is Sajda.
Okay, Sajda?
Correct.
Okay, that's S-A-J-D-A.
Correct.
Will that work, Ms. Sajda? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Sajda, for calling in, okay? And I see you calling from out to 702, so that sounds like Las Vegas or Reno to me. But please continue as you were saying, Ms. Sajda.
Yes, I'm Vegas. The only way that we can counter this is to expose the people that Harriet Tubman would have shot that are in political positions and don't stand the ground for the people, but we can't. Exposing them is not enough. We have to have a candidate that is not going to sell the people. And that's the only way to do it. As far as education is concerned, I go back to Malcolm X. I'm probably a little bit older than everybody else on the call. I'm in the 50 and over club, over half a century on the top side of planet Mud. Okay, so how can we our children, the enemy, to be educated? We need to be promoting homeschooling.
Absolutely.
I was in public schools in Indianapolis, Indiana, the cousin to Chicago, and a little girl named Lashana Bates came up missing when I was doing my student teaching out of my class. And it was one of the little girls, because you know all the cameras and all the fake people came. And at the end of the school year, she tugged on the bottom of my suit jacket and said, "Miss Teacher Lady, so you just going to leave us like everybody else? You don't care about us like they don't, like they don't either. I'm scared about us." That was comments by that. It kept me up. It made me feel like she did not feel safe at that school, and if she didn't feel safe, none of the rest of those Black babies felt safe. I didn't have children at the time. Came home and told my husband at the time, because he was always trying to get me to start a business. I said, "I figured it out. I figured out my purpose. I'm going to open up a private school." He said, "You're going to do what?" I said, "I'm going to open up a private school. I'm going to open up a state-of-the-art private school for inner city kids." And I did that. I took a house, turned it into a school, and had over 8,000 children come through those doors, and only three of them of the 8,000 have wound up in the criminal justice system. It started out as a homeschool. And as we went through the neighborhood, seeing Black alphabet, putting our fists up in the air at the stop sign, as if you stopping, you got to let people know, say it loud, "I'm Black and I'm proud." At every stop sign, every time we stop, I didn't have to tell them. They knew it. The community sees that. And I had a every year to get into the school. It was almost like we had to do a lottery. The waiting list was so long. So if people take time to take their children out of school and do homeschool. If you need a homeschool lesson, holler at your girl. I still have my curriculum. I never got rid of it. I don't.
Yes, ma'am.
But I will teach you how to homeschool your child.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the only thing that we're going to get a hold of this and get a grip on it. Our children are our future. They're our legacies. They're the only thing that we leave in this world. And if we don't make the best investment in them, then we have no future as a people. And we can't expect the entities to educate our children when it's publicly known that public schools are the pipeline to prison. Why would you send your child there?
Yes, ma'am. Then to prove you, but then you got, like, in California, you got the state educational code that's saying that if you don't have your children enrolled in school, that you could do some criminal time and what have you. But then the schools in the inner city of California, rather for San Francisco, Los Angeles, or Oakland, are dilapidated, drug-infested, gang-infested. You see what I mean? The quality of education is no good there. The administrators there and even the teachers there, they pretty much have the attitude that they're, well, you know, I'm showing up just for a paycheck, you know, as opposed to dealing, you know, with the child's welfare. You see what I mean? And also, too, you know, to enhance, you know, them wanting to learn and them wanting to go out, you know, to get even more secondary education. You see what I mean? But however, as you know, of how they systemically, you know, plant the gangs in there, the drugs in there, you know, things of that nature right there to really countermand our progress, you see. You see, you know, to keep us, you know, pretty much incarcerated, you know, like the new Jim Crow. And I believe, who was the sister who wrote the book on that there was talking about the new Jim Crow, talking about the prison, the school, the prison pipeline, you know, as Dr. X was talking about earlier. And
that's
then, you know, so how can we countermand it? And how can we countermand that? It's because, you know, you got these black athletes, black celebrities, and what have you.
I think, too, that, you know, with Jesse running, that was the prime, that's a prime example of what this was talking about, you know, over here. And the fact is that no matter how much we try to, no matter how much we say and educate, push the narrative of exactly what the sister said, Hasbidi, Boule, bourgeoisie type, like, they wouldn't try to get up behind it. They were at all not trying to get behind it. Instead, choosing up with these coon-like types, you know, that have already spent time in political positions, have already fucked up our city more than enough. Don't care, you know, they're watching their schools close down. They want to overdevelop and neglect. There's a lot of neglect going on. And with that being said, they weren't really trying to even get behind. In fact, they were very mocking and very standoffish, even up until like yesterday, man. Like from start to finish, and we ain't even finished yet. We still got a few months, but. I was like, man, if this was the time, if ever there was a time to get up and actually do some shit, it's this time now, you know?
Now is the time.
Oh, absolutely. Indeed. Particularly with this pandemic, scamdemic, plandemic, or whatever what they want to call it. You see what I'm saying? The economical shift. And then quite naturally, of course, about how they are pretty much are eliminating the black male out of mainstream society. Rather, if it's prison, alternative lifestyles, and things of that nature right there. And then even one of the rap brothers, you know, was rapping, not rapping, but made a YouTube video about how the music, the beats is great. Everybody likes the beats, but it's the lyrics of what they're saying, derogatory terms of our women, constantly calling ourselves the NGR term and stuff like this. And then the cold part about it that I'm seeing on social media that you got these other groups going.
You know,
yeah,
women are
using this term.
Way more worse now than what the men were doing. You listen to some of these women out now, it's all very, very ratchet, very, 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 very derogatory towards themselves too, or even I understand. I understand sexual freedom. I understand being empowered, you know, feeling good about yourself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain things I can't get behind is because, A, a lot of these voices are like, and right now my voice is kind of deep, but it's a little like, a little scratchy. These are like real husky, mannish type voices. Talking about real mannish type shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, look, man, I like rap. I like rap. I like R&B. But some things, then you're really turning me off. And I love music. You know what I'm saying? Something
right.
I can't get behind. And it's getting worse.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's getting way worse, you know. And then also, too, is that there is a plot. And I think Jesse and I discussed this, that doing back of Richard Nixon's time, you know, the guy that wasn't a crook, you know, he wants to make that perfectly clear. But they had started, you know, an agenda or probably had it up on the drawing board, you know, for the demasculization and the effeminization of the black male. You see what I mean? And, you know, and it's really kind of crazy, you know. It really is. Okay, and I think we got a caller right here. I think that's Brother Isaiah. Brother Isaiah, how you doing?
Okay, what's up, Black family? You know, all is well. What's going on with y'all?
Oh, man, yeah, we're just having a discussion tonight, Brother Isaiah, about the black face of white
right.
supremacy, you know? And
oh,
then
yeah, well, I've been
going,
seeing tons of them. Yeah, I've been seeing tons of them,
oh, yes,
you know,
sir.
With the white mindset.
Oh, yes, sir. And
yes,
then, once
you.
Again,
yes.
you know.
You know when they cry, when all the tears don't come out?
Right.
Have you noticed that when people cry, tears don't actually fall from their face?
Yep.
Really
oh, yeah.
They, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, yeah,
they
really
all, that come that
yeah.
day of, you know, every time when they come together, they always plotting. You know, they all, this, I call them the agents for real. All the
chemotherapy,
we all should come together as one. No, we need to focus on ourselves first.
Exactly.
Like, come on,
exactly.
Black first, race first. Sure.
Yes, sir.
To,
absolutely. And,
but because
and
I'm
this
tired
is why I appreciate.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, and this is why I appreciate, you know, what Brother Che Nkrumah, otherwise known as Jesse Paris, you know, mayoral candidate for Denver, Colorado in 2023, of the work of what
right.
he's doing. And
yep.
then I want to crumb bomb, you know, on those who are against him in Denver, Colorado. Now, this man,
right.
every Sunday, he goes take care of the senior citizens at the Dahlia Senior Citizen Community Center. I've seen the man do
yep.
it out there in scorching heat. I've seen him doing
right.
it out there in blizzard-like condition. And where are those other
yep.
candidates who are running for mayor of Denver, where are they? And then we heard in Denver, Colorado, as well, too. And you're welcome to give us a call at 516-418-5996. Now, let me say
mm-hmm.
something here. I want this here to be known and to go on the record. Okay, we
it.
Would love for you to call in,
them
but if you don't call in,
yeah,
yeah
I want them to get. Yeah, I want them to call. The and them,
oh yeah,
and them, buying supporter
too. If any of them motherfucking yeah. buying supporter, old fucking boot licking ass individuals out here in Denver that does get the opposite of fucking right, call in. You best push.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And then also,
yeah,
too, Lady J.
I got all day to respect. All day, because he's worked so fucking hard. And y'all know him. Y'all act like I'm saying y'all and Jeff and Denver. Everybody
yeah,
acts like,
nope.
like he can't do a good thing. He got policy after policy mm-hmm. after policy. You know what I know? Because I'm typing this shit up. He got ideas,
right.
he got thoughts, he got fucking serious things that he wants to change. And that's a lot of work
mm-hmm.
for a reason. Recreating a fucking system or like 12, 13, fucking 14 years of fucking garbage. And
yep.
somebody has
yeah.
gone and said, look, I
right.
can't make you no promises. All I can say is I got 4 years worth of work ahead of me. That's a term. That's a term,
mm-hmm.
4 years. You know what I mean? And he's already
yep.
said, look, I got this, this, and this, and this, and this to work on. you know, help him. Why does anybody say they got shit to work? They're just worried about getting money and pretty dusty.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. All the politics are politics. All they care about the money. They don't really they don't care about the hood. They don't care about the inner city. They don't care about the neighborhood. That all they all the stuff is all the stuff they talk about is a bunch of BS. I'm gonna keep it 100.
And then also too, brother Isaiah, we had brother Marvin X, you know, who's an educator out of California, out of Oakland. He was on with us earlier this evening, about 15, 20 minutes ago. And he was saying, and he pretty much said it, is that we were not included, you see what I'm saying, to prosper. The only thing that we were brought here for was to be the backbone and a beast of burden for slavery. You see what I mean? And that's it. That is it. And then also, too, and then, too, Brother Isaiah, on your side of the country, man, because you're in Baltimore, down there in Richmond, Virginia today. The new Black Panther Party had went out there and did a peaceful protest, and they was talking about the reparations issue. So then I'm looking at the live feed on social media, and then all of them saying, no, y'all don't deserve reparations. Go get a job. And I put up there, go get a job for who? Now, if you're talking about us building some jobs for ourselves, that I do not have a problem with.
I was the same thing, too. I was like, for who? Like, for who? We need all of that. We need reparation. We need tangibles. All of that. So, and they all. And we worth like $1 trillion, and we never would see one damn dime. So, and they owe us. So, shit.
Oh, yes, sir, indeed. And then keep in mind, it's not just the slavery, but also too. But you see, it's for the brutalization of post-slavery. You see what I'm saying? The Jim Crowism of the South. Like what happened with Emmett Till of the South. Also, too, like how they used to have these picnics.
And
you see what I'm saying?
Alive.
And of course, you know,
And watch it still alive.
And then, of course, and then, you know, then they will burn them alive. You know what I'm saying? And then they'll sit up there, man, and we'll consume them. You see what I mean? Now, that's the part that gets me, you know, is that they were sort of being consumed. See, so that's cannibalism right there. And they call us barbarians. You know, and here we've given the world all the sciences, engineering, things of that nature right there. Okay, and I see we got a couple of more callers, you know, coming in out of 301 and also 2702. Okay, and I think I know who 702 is. Okay, so we're going to unmute the sister's mic, you know, because she was on. With us here earlier. Okay, Sister Sizeville, I see you came back with us now.
Apologize. I had to take a call from a ill family member. Whenever she calls, I hang up and answer because I'll never know what it might be. But I do apologize.
Oh,
for
yes, ma'am.
The temporary break. Let me see right
back
up.
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's all good. And also, too, you know, we have our East Coast correspondent with us, Brother Isaiah, who's out of Baltimore, Maryland. He's been with us since day zero. And we are in our sixth year, ladies and gentlemen. And Sister's an educator right there. And what she has emphasized on that I've always advocated was homeschooling. She has a curriculum set up. You know, her students have done quite well, you know, on these state proficiency tests and things of that nature right there, you see. So it just goes
to
show.
I've
always said,
more homeschool. Yeah, we need more our kids. Our black kids for more homeschooling. Because the public schools, they are in the danger right now. Because all the schools doing have this day on so-called drag queen up, and they're trying to teach the alphabet groups. Like, no, they cannot
teach
that to the kids. Like, no, that's propaganda. No.
And then the cold part about it too, Brother Isaiah, to prove your point even further, is that they're going to our elementary school children with this agenda,
oh,
and
man.
They're in their formative
right.
years. You see, they're in their formative years.
Yeah.
So when they go up there, you know, to start, you know, recognizing members of the opposite sex, which is only natural to do, you see, but with this
mm-hmm.
alternative agenda, what they're doing is they're trying to derail them from that, you know. And then we got a call
right.
here out to 301 area code, last four is 1374. Just press one, sir, and you, or ma'am, and please join in this great conversation of what we're having here. But you see, but what it is, you know, it's just, okay, we got a caller right here. Okay, just bear with me, folks. Okay. Okay, caller 301. Hey, always. Who is this? What's your name?
Black
and where are you calling from?
Black Power, calling from the D.C. Area of the new Black Panther Party. Your biggest fan right here off of the Facebook. You got Dynamite Lightning, National Minister of Defense of the new Black Panther Party.
Oh, okay, Dynamite, yeah, okay. Man, I've been trying to get
that's
you on
okay,
here for a minute, man, yeah. Okay, Dynamite,
yeah,
I want to
get on here with y'all. Get on here with y'all.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You got
okay, the title of our episode.
White supremacy. Black faces off on white.
And we're having an open mic discussion of black politicians who have in effect a white supremacist agenda that is hidden from mainstream
mm-hmm.
black voters, whether it's at the local level, the state level, or the federal level. And we would like to get feedback from the black community of how to countermand this stuff for our best interest, particularly in education and health services. And then we would like to discuss
mm-hmm.
what are some of the ideas to circumvent this travesty, and how can we pull our collective resources to build and rebuild our cohesiveness, is because as I've seen some of your posts, Dynamite, and you've seen some of mine, like when it comes to the rapping industry, okay, hey, man, I ain't got nothing but love for the art of rhythm and poetry. But when I hear MF, B-I-T, no D, no D-C-K, and and all of this, man, you know, that there's the contamination mm-hmm. of our youth, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and then our young men is going around here with their pants sagging and all this. Now, a white dude told me this, and tell me what y'all
sagging.
Think of this one. Okay, that's take the word
mean.
Sagging, right? S-A. Okay, hold it.
Mm-hmm.
S-A-G-G-I-N, and spell it backwards and tell me what you got. Now, a white dude
you know,
brought this to my attention.
Right.
Exactly. That's precisely my point. And then as Brother Che has pointed out, as Dynamite has pointed out on Black Power Radio and so many of our other great scholars, you know, that it was part of the buck breaking of the black male on the plantation system.
Yeah.
You see,
right.
they would sodomize the black
and
male in the presence of his daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, the prison
industrial
complex.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And the 13th Amendment. Sorry, go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead, Dynamite.
Right.
You got it. 13th Amendment.
Yeah,
come on, brother, drop knowledge.
Yeah, that 13th Amendment. They made it so they wanted to make a little clause in there to keep us slaves, you know? And your knowledge that makes you unfit to be a slave. I'm still celebrating Big Mike's birthday from yesterday. Michael King Jr.
Okay.
You know, born in Atlanta.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of people didn't know that. You know that his father, being the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, and his mother Alberta Williams. A former school teacher.
Oh, yeah,
teacher.
Dr. King. Yes, sir. Okay.
And his father, he was into the German, the religious reformer, Martin Luther. And he changed his name to Martin King. And he changed Martin's name to Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay,
yeah. Learn the knowledge. Yes, sir.
Talking,
now, also, too, folks.
I'm going to shout out first.
Oh, yes, sir. And also, yes, sir, and we appreciate that there, Dynamite. But also, too, ladies and gentlemen, as we do know, it is January the 17th. And in the year 1942, from Louisville, Kentucky, the heavyweight champion of the world.
We
don't have to say, his name. We know who he is, and we appreciate the brother's sacrifice of what he did. He sacrificed his prime years because he did not want to go to an unjust war. And then, just like he said, why shall I go travel 10,000 miles to go kill, you know, other oppressed people who ain't never bombed our church, who ain't never called us niggas, you see, who ain't never raped our women. Yes, sir. And then on top of it, yes, sir, go ahead. We most definitely got to give the greatest
respect. I love that fight where the guy kept calling him. He said my name is Muhammad Ali, and he said,
he's
beating him in the ring, and every time he hit him, he said, what's my name?
Yes, sir, that was Ernie Terrell. Yes, sir. And then the cold part about it is I saw a clip on that dead Dynamite, you know, of a news clip before the fight, right? And Ali had came up there, he had stated that I'm going to punish this man, I'm not going to knock him out, I'm going to punish him. And then he'd get up there, and then he went and put the work in on Mr. Terrell and what have you. You see what I mean? But in my opinion, Mr. Terrell had deserved that. It's because if one of you brothers come up there and tell me tomorrow, well, hey, man, my name is whoomp, 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 blank, and that's all what I'm going to refer to you as. You know what I'm saying? Because that's your name. You see what I'm saying? That's how you identify yourself. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that is very, very disrespectful to do that. And then just like, as you know, Brother Dynamite, as you know, Sister Shazja and Brother Isaiah, that is the biggest insult that you can make to a black man, to keep commonly referring to him by the slave name when he has informed you is that I no longer go by this name. So now, when you keep calling him that, plain stupid old man, I forgot that you're such and such. No, you didn't forget. No, you didn't forget. Right. You wanted up there to step on that man's toes. You see, now what is it, black family? Now, what is it within us? And we already know it's the mentality of that plantation system. You know, just like Brother Malcolm said, anytime that the boss got sick or slave master got sick, well, what's the matter, boss? We sick. Or the house catch on fire, well, what's the matter, boss? Our house on fire. See, we sick. You see, the slave master was more worried. I'm sorry, the slave was more worried about the slave master than himself.
Right.
You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is why, like, when you go to this sick institution that I grew up in, Brother Dynamite, I'm sure you heard of this cesspool called Los Angeles, California. You ever heard of that dump?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we got people there. Yep, and the reparation hearings are going on out there.
Yeah, you could best believe. I'm going to be making a special trip. You know, when all that water stops, going up there to go get mine. Yes, sir.
That's the next stop, San Diego. Comrades online, and salute to all the comrades that are listening in, and all our people. We got to be smart about it, and I would say find out who your governor is, who your mayor is, the city council meeting, the city council board members are, the county council board members are, and go to these meetings, and see what's going on, and speak up for the things that are going on in our collective communities, you know, because we've been getting a lot of city council meetings lately, and then I found out, okay, well, they don't have, like my particular area, they have the commissioners meeting. So, all right, so I'm hitting the county council meeting, the city council meeting, and now I'm hitting, I done found out where they at, so they're next. They're next, the commissioners county council meetings. And let these people know that we put you is the people that put you in the power in this position of power, and it's the people who will vote you out of there. You know,
yes, sir.
So, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Give us what we want. That's why I love free calls. Like Martin says, justice delayed is surely justice denied. So I just want to be on topic with you.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. And then also, too, as Brother Martin has said, you know, shortly before, before he was murdered, April 4th, 1968, he had stated, and I've went back and forth with Brother Dynamite, you know, on the East Coast, because they got a formation out there, man, talking about reparations there and Virginia. Yes. So all these hateful comments, man, that I was seeing on the feed saying is, well, why don't you people go get a job? And I said, get a job from who?
Well, just go work.
Oh, wait a minute. So what you're saying, white folks, is that you want us once again to go work for you for these substandard wages, okay? So this is why, you know, I halfway respect the hustler and what have you. I'm not talking about doing illicit or illegal stuff. I'm talking about the vendor who goes out there to do his own, like Dr. Marvin X does, okay? It's because Marvin X was with us about an hour ago, and I'm acquainted with the brother personally is because him and I are in Oakland sometimes. We'll sit down, man, you know, fellowship and what have you, and we philosophize, and I appreciate Dr. Marvin X went on. And Dr. Marvin X, he himself was a political prisoner. Also, too, he was a professor at the California State University of Fresno, and then he protested the war in Vietnam, and then Governor Ronald Reagan had put him off the campus, just like they did Angela Davis as well. And then keep in mind, okay, and keep in mind to those, you know, who are not of our ethnicity or of our background, this isn't hatred towards you. What this is up to us repairing the damage that you had inflicted on us for the last 400 years. Because even Dr. King said that, hey, I might have made a mistake of leading our people into a burning house within the grave. Okay, and I'm, and then due to his untimely, yes, sir, and due to his untimely death when he was murdered April 4th, 1968, I was a child, I remember the date very, very well. And he said that we as a people will see the promised land. So the first thing we must do is get our children out these public indoctrination centers because this is where they learn drug usage. This is where they get accosted by gangs and pimping and prostitution. All the negative stuff right there.
In the history book. Yeah, on the lives they put in the
history
book.
Oh, yes, sir. Let the sister speak, Brother Isaiah. I'm sorry, but go ahead, Sister Shad. What was on your mind, ma'am?
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to interrupt y'all, but when I had the school, when the parents would bring their children to me for the first time, one of the questions that I would ask them, oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, it left my mind.
Okay, it'll come back, sister. But the homeschool
really to focus on getting these babies out of these indoctrination centers. Oh, this is what I was going to say. I wanted everybody to sit and focus and think about when you were coming up. We all are part of public school. Where did you learn the negative?
Yes, ma'am.
I learned it on the inner city schools of Los Angeles, learned all the negativity, all the negativity. And here's
same
one
here,
for you, ma'am, to prove your point even further. Yeah, now here's one for you, folks. You're going to
negative thing I learned from the N-word to cussing to dressing promiscuously, it all happened at public school. And
yes, ma'am.
And
that's why I come.
The only way
ma'am.
To preserve the future is to invest in the children. And we have failed
indeed.
For decades to invest in our children. It doesn't take a lot of money to open up a school. You can take a house and turn each room into a classroom and have more than one level in each room. So you don't have to have a big private building. You know, I started off in a house. The worst neighborhood in the city. And that neighborhood became the best neighborhood in the city. And one thing that how they get us brothers and sisters, is the money. See you doing right. They come to, if I could tell you the millions of dollars that the government and government officials tried to offer that school, I don't need your money because the people support school. The neighborhood paid for that school. The dope dealers in the neighborhood saw the work that I was doing, and every morning when I walked up to the steps of the door to open it up, it would be a brown paper bag because we were still in brown grocery bag days back then, filled up with cash. They would say, where are y'all going this month? What field trip are we sponsoring? You need computer equipment. You need desks. You need science equipment. Whatever I needed, I went to the brothers in the community. That one school, schoolhouse, cleaned up that whole side of town. It was known for drugs and heroin and crack cocaine. Baby, I didn't have to tell them nothing. Just walking them babies down the street, singing that African alphabet, telling everybody I'm black and I'm proud, say it loud. People were coming out their doors on their porch to see us walk by every morning. It's real simple. You can start school in the park. You don't even need a building. We on the West Coast. The weather is out 10 months out of the year. The weather is so that we can be outside. You can have school in the park. To have a facility.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell the
parents,
we meet at the park at 10 a.m. every day, and we're going to have class for every grade level. But the first thing that you teach them off top every day is a positive affirmation about their self. I homeschool. I don't homeschool. I teach parents how to homeschool, and I provide the curriculum.
Yes,
ma'am.
Speak to each child. Because every child is different and every child learns differently. What I focus on at my household is different from what you focus on at your household. So meeting with the parents, I pick up on this. Give me 2 or 3 weeks to get his or her curriculum developed, and they can start school. In those 2 or 3 weeks, you need to get the uniform, the shoes, and everything together. You know?
Yes, ma'am.
But we have
And you said that the hustlers of the neighborhood was helping you as well, too?
That's where my money came from, the neighborhood. I never took money from the government. It came from our
government. Gotcha.
Yes, ma'am.
And
that's self-sufficiency.
Thousands of children. Thousands. A lot
of
the
ma'am. Now, that's a beautiful thing.
I was educating them and got them up out of the streets into legitimate businesses. Because if you baby, you can run a business. That's the most dangerous occupation in the country. Well, now rapping is.
Yes,
but,
ma'am.
You know, it's a dangerous occupation. Baby, if you can do that.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me show you how to be an entrepreneur. So come up here after school and we'll have entrepreneur class.
Right.
So it's not just about the school-age children. We have young adults out here who have been raised on TV and raised themselves that are thirsty.
Yeah, it has not been out of this country,
and I have never been in a city, a neighborhood that I have not been welcomed and embraced to. The brother from Baltimore, I know Brother Sonny Reds from 300 Gangsters personally. I put in work with that brother. He knows about my career. So I've been
now that's beautiful.
We need to focus on, and these people get lost, or our brothers and sisters coming home from the penitentiary. The black woman is the new hot commodity in the prison system. There are more black women going to prison in 2023 than there are black men. We have got to institutionalize them. That was also another part of my work. I used to go wherever a brother or sister was trying to get out the penitentiary, and there's a parole system. Baby, I know how to work that system. I worked for the Supreme Court State of Nevada. Let's get this paperwork together, get to the seats, and bring these brothers and sisters home. I did that for decades. That's how my brother Sonny Reds.
Yes, ma'am.
Reds in Baltimore, bringing brothers home out of the penitentiary. So,
are you located in Baltimore?
No, no, but I am mobile.
Are you familiar with Unity Hall? Are you familiar with Unity Hall in Baltimore?
I am.
Okay, well, we built that from the ground up. You know what I mean? Yeah, the
right.
red paint on the building, that's, I did that. And the red trim in the building, I did that.
Okay.
That tree stump out front, somebody
that
else covered up the seven
yeah,
I put on that tree trunk.
The seven,
covered
right.
it up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, covered it up. But you're right. Those brothers down there, they uplift the community. I didn't want to cut you off, but I just wanted to ask because I know I'm going to be coming through there. Yep.
I'm mobile. Wherever I'm needed, I get there. Somehow, some way, the ancestors make a way, and I get there, and I put the work in and make sure the people are able to maintain on their own, and then I come back home and wait for the next assignment.
Yes, ma'am.
That's how we have to be able to go to the people. We've got to have systems for these brothers to come home, these sisters to come home. I've been on the inside. I know what it's like on the other side of the wall. I know what it takes to not be institutionalized. And you're never – that's an experience that you can never forget. Certain things.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't bring certain foods around me because that's penitentiary food. That's all they served on commissary. It's not allowed in my house. It's a
part of
being a slave. And a lot of us don't know that the biggest owner of private prisons and jails is Michael Jordan himself. The second biggest owner of private prisons and jails is Thurgood Marshall Jr., the Supreme Court Justice's grandson. These are not white men. These are our own people. We have to start accountable for ourselves and our own actions. We got to start holding people accountable in our communities, breaking a blessing and doing malevolent things to these babies. We got to start rooting them out. Rooting them out. That's physically removing these people. America don't want to wrap their mind around that there are more female sex offenders than there are men. I would not trust a woman around a man.
There are
more female offenders than there are men, but it's okay for a 12 or 13-year-old boy to be having sex with a 31, 32-year-old woman. That's cool. No, it's
not cool at all.
I dare a grown woman to come in my grandson. I dare you.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. Sister, to prove your point even further, there was a case out of Pasadena, California, about 1993, 94, I believe, around the time of the O.J. Simpson case, where this woman was 32 years old, and she was having sex with a 15-year-old boy. And what had happened was that the woman was friends with the boy's mother. You know what I'm saying? They were like homegirls. So quite naturally, of course, when the mother had got wind about it, you see what I'm saying? Hey, you know, she decided to go have her prosecuted as well as she should have. And guess what the cold part about it is, ma'am? This woman who was seeing this 15-year-old boy was the wife of the mayor of Pasadena at the time, Pasadena, California.
Wait a minute, what?
The boy was 15 years old, and the mayor's wife was like 34. And she, you know, had committed lewd conduct, you know, with him because, see, at one time in California, you know, there was they didn't have no law against that. It was mainly against the man being that age and the girl being that age. But as far as the boys was concerned, they didn't have no law on. Yes, they changed the law. And then that sister was saying is that these are the children in their formative years. You see what I mean? And then just like as you has pointed out, Brother Isaiah, about drag queen hour for the elementary schools and what have you. And I think they was having some of that stuff down there in Los Angeles, California, man. But a lot of the parents got upset about it, and they got rid of that bullshit. Yeah, yeah, and then to find out that one of these drag queens, now get this here, people, now get
that's
this here, that one of the drag queens who was that had a jail record, you know, for child molestation, you okay? So what does that take?
What
also, too,
fuck?
I see we got a call here. We got a call here out of 520 last 46529. Okay, just press 1. We'll be more than happy to have you on the air. But yeah, brother Isaiah, yeah, they was they was trying to normalize it and to find out that one of these dudes, man, who was going up here with Drag Queen Story Hour had a record for child molestation. Now, I'm of the opinion that when a man goes through these type of, what would be the proper word, man? This trauma, actually. Okay, because off of research that I've done is that a lot of them had been victimized as children themselves. Now you're going up here to normalize this stuff. Now, here's one for you folks that you're going to love. The city of San Francisco. You know where the triple bird comes from? Over there off the Pinky Market, and you know me, brother Isaiah, because you witnessed me online going to customer. Do you know that about 5 years ago, women had went up there topless in January in San Francisco, where it's very cold, raising money for breast cancer research. And the ladies made it very clear, fellas, this is what we're raising our money for. You can look at the Jiggly Wigglies, but you cannot touch the Jiggly Wigglies, and you cannot make no derogatory comments.
Make no derogatory comments about the Jiggly Wigglies.
But the sisters is... Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
No, Brother Lightning. I just want to ask, it kind of dawned on me one day, like, I could be wrong, but where it came from. My granddaddy and them, they raised it. My granddaddy and grandmama raised the family, you know? And my daddy and my mama raised the family. And then somewhere when I was coming up, somewhere along the line, the government outbid the daddy with the check, you know? The government outbid the daddy. Welfare. Say, okay, we're going to give you a place to stay for free. We're going to give you a check for free. And we're going to give you food stamps for free. Because I never saw cheese logs. I never saw a cheese log until I got grown. It's like, that's when that started happening, you know? It's like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, we call it the welfare cheese.
Government issue. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
So what happened to the daddy? Couldn't be around when the welfare man came around, because then they stopped the checks, and then we back to struggling. So their daddy got a hive now, and then I guess point the daddy's out there. He ain't got nothing. Mama got everything.
Right.
And he's out there now. What does he have? He got the streets. He got some drinks. He got some drugs. He got prison time. What them little boys looking at? In the mirror, in the bathroom, in the mirror, combing their hair, going to the beauty shop and stuff like that, you know? So they'll have daddy around and teach them how to box. See, my daddy and them, they're like this. Even if you don't win, you better go down there. You better go handle your business. Even if you come back beat up, it don't matter. But if you stay in here, you definitely going to get beat up. You're going to get beat up in here worse than you would if you go out there. So my daddy asked me, who you want to fight, him or me? I'm like, I'm going to get him back. I'll land my boat on this one. If daddy's not there to teach you how to fight, then what they do? Pick up the gun, and now where they at? In prison? And where they learn all these feminine ways? Where they learn all these feminine ways? If they was out there with their daddy,
television
they might
in prison.
Learn some,
yeah.
They might learn some gangster stuff if they stayed out there with that. But I'm just saying, they wouldn't be on the, down there in the Tenderloin getting the drag queen shots and stuff like that there, you know?
I've been
all over the place. When I first got off the bus in San Francisco, we were living in Oakland. And that was in the time of Eldridge Cleaver was one of my daddy's best friends. And he had just went into exile. He just went into exile when I got off the, I got off the plane. I've just been back and forth so many times. But we was living in Oakland, and when we was going through San Francisco, and my daddy said, "You see that there?" And I said, "Wow, yeah, I see that there." He said, "That's a man." I said, "What? That's a man?"
I've never seen no man looking badder than a woman.
I'm just saying.
Okay, let me get back over here to San Francisco, y'all. Okay, now let me get back here.
We lost that man somewhere along the line. And then what they're doing in prison, with the pants hanging down, that's a prison thing. But these boys don't know that. I'll leave it alone. I'll be back.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, and then, you know, the rappers, their job. They get paid.
That I learned teaching y'all about this homosexuality. How many of our children are being molested, and I don't like the word molested, but molested is touching to me. When they actually go to intercourse, that's rape. You'd be surprised how many of our children are being in these homes. And I learned teaching school that some people are actually born that way, but the vast majority of the people who are now are gay because they were messed with as a child. And whatever that sexual touch is, always going to yearn for it. It's kind of like smoking a blunt or being a dope fiend. You always try to get that high, that first high. So they always try to go back to that. If a man has been raping a little girl, she doesn't value her body. And so she becomes promiscuous, starts tripping, maybe prostituting, winds up on drugs. And it's just a vicious cycle. We have got to get sex offenders up out of our neighborhood. I mean, physically remove them. Y'all go to the Pink People Village with that, because that's where that comes from.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, ma'am.
We have got to do
that's why the Panthers are here to teach these young boys how to be men. That's our main objective.
And you should see these new fashions right now. Those tight ass on the skinny jeans that they got right now, like the
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. This is the story I got to tell you. I got to tell you this story right here. I was in the state of Oregon, right, and they had the mask mandate, right? Okay, so they said, well, you can't come in here until you have a mask on. So this dude is going to hand me an effeminized mask with the little chiffons around it. And I says, okay, man, where's the one for the boys? You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
okay,
hell no.
Yeah, because, you know, this is effeminate. Okay. And I'm telling you right now, man, you can get your manager, your district manager over here. You can call the local sheriff, what have you. But I do not appreciate you stepping to me with women's fashion. Okay. And I don't think I did anything to project such an image that I'm about that, you know, so excuse the expression, you got me a little bit twisted. Keep that in mind. Now, back to San Francisco, the Sisters with the Breast Cancer Research out there braving that cold, you know what I'm saying? City of San Francisco gives them tickets for indecent exposure, but however, they got a municipal law in the city of San Francisco that a naked-ass man can walk down the street showing a crack of his nasty ass.
Ew, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. And then the cold part about it is, if you go up there, you step to that individual about that, well, man, you this, that, there, the other, you funny, this, that, there, the other, you will do 90 days in the San Francisco County Jail. and they're going to hit you with a hip crack.
Wait a minute, is it just because you're saying that's on purpose?
One of them homosexuals, because of their sexuality, you know what I'm saying? You will do 90 days in the San Francisco County Jail because you got the city. Oh, yeah. But let a woman go out there, show the knockers, and I mean no disrespect, Sister Sasha, you know what I'm saying? Well, hey, I'm doing money, raising money for breast cancer research is because, you know, we need this here, like to feed you guys as babies, you know what I'm saying? You know, just off of the biosphere, you know, of life, you know what I'm saying? You know, like all guys living creatures, you know what I'm saying? You got to have the daddy and the mama. But yet, though, you sit up there and tell me that this dude with a 5 o'clock shadow coming up to me talking about he's a woman and I got to call this dude a woman. No, that ain't going to happen.
No, right.
I'll just watch him on TV. I'll call him little boy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then the funny part about it is,
they'd be welcome to like, hello, baby. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. Now, get a load of this here. In California, okay? California, they are discussing the reparations issues. I will be going to Sacramento to see who's running that commission. I will be providing documentation that I am a descendant of slaves because my people slaved in Montgomery, Alabama, you know what I'm saying, which is one of the most brutal slave states of the slave
trade.
Right,
that's the blue state.
You know, to get the reparation. Now, when a formation went there into Richmond, Virginia, and they did a live feed, right?
I know all them brothers.
Okay.
The last one up. I was supposed to go with
them.
Yes,
sir, and I appreciate the work they do. And then you should see the hatred and the insult that came from these other groups of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Everybody kept going, folks, was against the reparation. You know, you weren't born no slave. That was so long ago. You know what I mean? You're making a fool.
That's what they say.
See, but
say,
white America don't want to recognize.
They give that money to everybody except us. Time for us. Stand up. But look, this is a problem that we're going to run into, brothers, with these reparations. The vast, I say 85 to 90% of it, don't know what plantation our people came from. That's a matter of public record.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Get on that internet and start researching where your people came from so that when reparations do come to your city, your state, you'll be able to qualify for it. Because if you wait till it comes to do the research and get your paperwork, it's only going to be available for a certain amount of time. You're going to miss out on that time period because you're busy doing your paperwork. Encourage people to get their paperwork straight now so that when
that's
it comes, because
right.
it's
yes,
coming.
Ma'am.
It's coming.
Real talk.
California,
oh, yeah.
That's one thing I love about growing up on 82nd and Cooper. It was the grassroots of the country. If it happened in California, it was going to trickle down to the rest of the country. That was a benefit of growing up in South Central L.A. I got to see all the grassroots start there, and it's probably why it's in my blood so deep and heavy, going to the parks, being fed by the Black Panther, going to the park, getting clothes, getting medicine, getting money for our parents to pay our bills and stuff. You know, then they put these churches in on it. Just to tell the truth, the devil. The churches, these ministers, is raping our women and babies too. Got the gay blades up in the choir singing and stuff. The churches
are
no longer a safe haven for our people either, because it has been Europeanized and sexualized as well. It's more sisters up in the church congregation, dressed scantily clad in tight clothes, than it is up in the club on Friday and Saturday. Let's tell the truth. We got to start holding them accountable because they take their ministry for granted. And that's a privilege as well.
Yes,
and we have to start removing these people out of our community. It can be done. My father and uncle used to, the brother was talking about being on welfare back in the day. We stayed in the middle house of the block on 82nd and Hoover. My parents didn't believe in the government and getting any type of hand from the government. So when the welfare people would come,
you would see the men jumping over the fences and through clotheslines, carrying their clothes, dropping them in people's backyards, running from the welfare people. Our house was a safe haven where they could stay for a couple of days because, you know, they might come today and come right back tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning thinking they're going to catch the husband in the house. Now, we had an extra room in the house. It'd be three or four brothers staying in there at one time because we're waiting on the welfare people to make their rounds. You know, that's how
we came
together back in the days. Our house was the safe haven. We was the only people on the block that didn't get welfare in no kind of way. So they came to our house because they weren't coming knocking on us. You know, we have got to provide safe haven for our people. We harp on these boys not being men, but these sisters are not being women. Women to choose from. I have 29-year-old twins. My daughter can't find a young man that's not more feminine than she is. My son was blessed. I found him a beautiful wife. But if you think for 1 minute that my 6-year-old and 3-year-old grandson are listening to any mainstream rap, you have to start previewing what you allow these babies to hear and see, because this rap music is nothing that they need to listen to. My son
is from the feminized black music too.
Yeah.
All this rappers, coming out right now, these new rappers. Dressing and all that. Right.
Hearing in person, fingernails. That's what my grandson will be exposed to. We have to start limiting what we allow the babies to be exposed to, brothers. We have to start doing it. When you see a brother not doing right by his baby, call that brother aside, not in a negative way, brother. I'm here to help you. I've helped a lot of sisters. Sister, look, I teach every sister that I've run into, if that is not your kid's father, he should not be in your house around your children. You don't know what type of monster you're going to fall in love with. Do not rotate your hand around the baby.
You're right.
No, 100%.
I'm with you. Yes, ma'am. You know it also, too.
A lot of brothers out here raising babies on their own. Brothers, don't rotate your females around your children, around your seed, because it's more female sex offenders than it is male sex offenders.
Wow. I didn't know that, sister.
Research. I learned that work in the school system, how many female sex offender teachers it was, and then I really got exposed to it because I worked for 2 years for Universal Studios. Oh, man, Hollywood is the sickest of the sickest. Every child.
Hollywood.
Yeah, that's why I always crumb bomb on them, sister.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Yeah, that's why I always crumb bomb on them.
Yeah,
Universal, Paramount, Warner Brothers. Yes, ma'am. And
studios, they gave me a police escort up here. And I'm not going to bring the baby's name up, but she was a young black movie star on a sitcom, and she was being molested and raped, and she confided in me as her teacher, like your school teacher, and she was her friend, but I knew it was her. And when I put two and two together, I went to the authorities like, somebody is raping this baby. She's 9 years old. I'm the one who got led out. I'm the one who got the police escort out. And I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that because that baby, if I tried, she know I tried to this day. When she sees me, she gives me the biggest hug. So I know you tried. I say, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I even tried to do it.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
yes,
but,
ma'am. And thank God that you...
We can be better as a people and stop turning a blind eye to this malevolent mess that's going on. I was scrolling on Facebook earlier today and was on 50 Cent page, and he had a picture of little Meech in this little flowered outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And 50 Cent said, this is too busy for me, right? And I made the comment that, it's feminine. Men don't wear clothes with flowers on it. Oh, my God. The backlash I got from the young people. I was like, baby, you'll never get my daughter wearing flowers or pink. You know what I'm saying? Because she was raised with a real man. And a real man ain't going to put nothing on that got flowers. And he ain't going to put nothing on that got pink. I'm fine.
He ain't wearing no dress.
That's right.
And we ain't wearing pink flowers or dresses. None of that shit.
Yes, sir. And what you did, Sister Shasta. Yes, ma'am. And what you just did, Sister, you have confirmed what I stated all along, because I grew up there in Los Angeles and know the treachery of Hollywood, and you too, Brother Isaiah, and I think you too, Brother Dynamite,
right,
have seen my live feed when I went up there on Hollywood Boulevard and I went and crumb-bombed on them right up there, Sister. You know the corner of Highland Avenue and Hollywood Boulevard, Sister Sizer, where they have the Kodak Theater at. You know, and I went up there, you
at
know.
The Grammy,
and,
at the Grammy,
and I knew that I was putting my well-being, you know, on the line right there, but they just had to be told about themselves. And then let's look at a lot of our black actresses there in the 30s and the 40s, like Lena Horne and them, and the other sister that they did a story on, that, you know, that these white men would pass them around and stuff like that. And then I even saw the woman, Kim Kardashian, the one that Kanye used to be married to. Yeah, they had a publication down there by Hollywood
crazy.
Where Kim Kardashian has got three black girls with rope collars on, and she's carrying them around, you know, like they going to the auction block. So you know what's up with
that,
y'all.
Picture.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah,
for you to,
fucking picture.
Yeah, for, well, for you to get your...
Grateful.
Yeah.
They tried so hard.
They
tried so hard to be like us, too.
Obama sent their daughter to work for him. And you know he's a convicted sex offender. And the Obama sent their daughter to work for him. You know, it's beyond sickening. It really is. And then when you try to awaken people up, the backlash that you get from it, it's just our work.
When are we going to have a leader that steps up that was sent by God? You know, every time that happens, you know what happened to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. By the way, I just want to say we are having for Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad's solar return on February 17th in Harlem. I plan to be up there keeping up the legacy of Dr. Khalid, because he said that what they doing to us is Mayava Mizo. Mayava meaning the worst possible destruction they could possibly put on us, and Mizo meaning they did it on purpose. So that we can't just sit idly by and watch no more. It ain't happening. Not no more. And you know, I heard a brother on the internet the other night. He said something that really profound from what you were saying, sister, about he said, you know, don't take anything, like the Bible say, don't take anything out of this book and don't add nothing to it, you know? So he's saying that when the man finally get in front of God, he say where the things that I gave you, you know, while you was on earth, you know, he say say you brought say where little Bobby at, you know, where little Bobby at? He say no, not Sharita, Bobby, you know. You know, I sent you down there with Bobby, not Sharita. So what happened to Bobby? Yeah, I think it's how they're trained, is what they're taught, you know?
Yes, sir.
I don't think they're born like that. You know, they might have some, like a little, they might have some ways, but if they got the right guidance, that become a thing of the past. You know, that get wiped out, you might have a girl. And she might be knocking boys out. But if she got the right family structure, you'll see her, and she'll still be a feminine woman that will knock you out.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, y'all can't find it. Just listening to the air, you hear somebody saying, "Black power." That's me.
Okay, Brother Dynamite. Okay, also, too.
And on y'all with is
and that
the
did.
New year. The Europeans have
yes, ma'am.
Sold off of a natural schedule. They got to celebrate in the new year in January when the new year is celebrated, when the first things start to bloom in nature. But peep game, they didn't take that fiscal year off of the natural rotation. That money still
yes,
natural
ma'am.
Rotation. This
right.
year don't end
right.
until April 15th. You feel me? That's why
you yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That time
and you're talking about what they would call the and what you're talking about, sister, is the first day of the year is what they call the vernal equinox, which is the first day of spring. Also, too, let me say this here, and we're going to be signing off,
mm-hmm.
folks. Hey, this is one of our best shows. We appreciate everybody's input. As we know, today is the day of the former his birthday, the former heavyweight champion of the world, Muhammad Ali. Also, too,
Ali.
Brother Dynamite, and you had mentioned February 17th, which is the most appropriate day to do what you're doing in regard to Dr. Khalid Muhammad there, is because, as you do know, 30 years from today, in the same year that Ali was born, 30 days later, Dr. Huey Percy Newton was born in Monroe, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ain't that something? Ain't that something? They were born exactly 30 days apart.
Hey, look at this. Dr. Collins was born January the 12th, and Dr. Martin Luther King was born, what was it just the other day? Was,
the 15th.
Was it 15th?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
The 15th.
Yes, sir.
2 days behind each other.
Yes, sir.
Two great leaders behind each other.
Yep.
So
yep.
that's why I say when we meet
yeah.
people,
great
we don't eat from these people. We don't eat from these people. We don't drink from these people. We don't even stand too close to these people. They got to stand back, you know? Yeah, you know, right.
yes,
close to some, close
yes,
to the
yes,
donation
sir.
Bucket, you know. We have
that's
some
right.
donation buckets out there. Stand close to that.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Well,
so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, you know, okay, this is our episode for today, January 17th, 2023, which is also the birthday of the former heavyweight champion, the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, exactly 30 days
and
from
he never
today.
Laid
will
down
be
for the white man, I'll tell you that.
That's right. And then, Ali and Newton were the same age, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to go with an out track, and I think everybody's going to know who this is. We're going to play something by Tupac's auntie. We all know who Tupac's auntie
is.
Yeah.
This
okay.
is the
yeah.
21st
Black
century,
power.
And we need to redefine the revolution. This planet needs
indeed.
A people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism, to end neocolonialism, to end racism? Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creating. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and as equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means protecting the people, the plants, the animals, the air, the water. Revolution means saving this planet. Revolution is love.